make sure I'm on. There we go. I am young at heart. Thank you for that. And an evangelist, I'm not so sure about that, but I do like to share and share God's words, so praise God. How's everybody doing? Good? Good, good. It's always good to be doing good. As you know, pastor's away, and they've been having a great time down in Orlando at General Council, but our youth have been having a fantastic time from what I read and hear of sharing the gospel and ministering to people down there, and with Jen, our youth pastor down there with them, and just having a wonderful time. And I'm sure next week we will hear some great testimonies of what God has done. You know, it's the older I get, the more I look at our young people and say, wow, what opportunity they have in this day and age. So, you know, sometimes they might not even realize it, but they're out there doing such a great and wonderful work and testimony. One thing I like about young people, especially, you know, like little children, they just say what comes to mind sometimes, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, I might have thought about that for a little bit. But they have an enthusiasm, especially the younger kids, you know. I've raised three daughters, and, you know, and my grandson and my granddaughters, they're always coming out with just what's on their heart. And I love that, you know, innocent. Not with any other desires there or wanting to get on somebody's case, but they're just willing to share and speak their hearts. So I'm thankful for that, and that blesses me. But for you, those of you visiting, we welcome you to Trinity and pray that you enjoy this day with us and that you come back and visit us and meet Pastor and Carol and the rest of the family. We've got so many missing today, but thank you for being here today, and we give God all thanks and praise for that. I want to speak to you today on this thought. The hen house or the eagle's nest? Now, what do those two have in common? Hopefully we'll see some things that they have in common or not in common, so to speak. Now, there's a lot of chaos and uncertainty in this world around this, isn't it? I mean, you hear about things today that happened 10 minutes ago, you see it on the internet, or you get a Facebook message, or you see it, a text somewhere of something that's taken place. It happens so quickly. And there's a lot of things that go on in this world that I look at and say, you know, I think back when I was a young man, I never thought some of these things would take place. I was so far from any thought that I had. And we see it on the news. It's on there daily, one tragedy, one situation after another. And our hearts can break with sadness at what we see and hear. There's always more hunger than there is food. More needs than there is money. More questions sometimes than there is answers. And you know, money isn't the final joy of someone's life, is it? The scripture says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's not that having enough income or having an abundance of income is wrong, but it's that love, that greed factor, so to speak. I mean, we see about it, we hear about it on the news, we see of those that are quite wealthy, yet their lives are miserable. And some of them even take their lives. It's like we get stuck sometimes in this hen house of commotion with no place to go. It's like the world's caught up in this craziness. Where's the peace? Where's the comfort? Where's the joy? The homeless population has grown beyond our imagination. Millions are homeless. Domestic violence is a huge problem in our country. Drug and alcohol abuse is rampant, especially in the homeless population. I woke up early this morning, and as I always do before I preach, because it's on my mind, sleeping, and the night before and the days before. And later on, after I was up for a couple of hours, it was 4 a.m. when I did get up, but when I did turn on the television, you know, I have a certain station that I can go to. It's Christian music, so I like to have that playing. But before that, it was on the news, Channel 9, and I heard about they just found a homeless man in Concord at one of the tent cities they have, and he had died, and they weren't sure how it happened. But it happens in this country. You know, when I was a young man, I never thought that this would take place in this country. It was always a third world country, somewhere else. But now it's in our cities around us. This chaos and commotion can put a heavy strain on our sanity. How many times maybe have you said, why? Why is that taking place? I want us to look at some scriptures that maybe can help us see and share with us our responsibility as believers as we live in this world of trouble. We're in the world, but not of it. We've heard that said many times, haven't we? You've said it. We're in this world living as Christians, but we're not of it. This isn't our permanent home. We're going to a better place. I mean, believe it or not, when I pass, I'm going to go to a better place. And if you're here when I'm gone, you better come rejoicing because I'm going to be pretty, can I say this, pretty dang happy where I'm going. I told my wife I want a fork and a spoon and a plate in my coffin because I'm going to a feast. Now, listen. I'm a lot like that country song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. And that's it. I'd like to hang around a few more years, see the kids grow, the grandchildren, and have a good time. But I know my destination. And I know that there's a place waiting for me, and there's a Savior waiting for me. But sometimes it seems like we're in the hen house here in this world. Let me share with you some thoughts. Number one, we need to believe that there is light beyond the darkness. I'm going to share some scriptures with you. You don't necessarily have to turn there because I'm going to share a few with you. But you just I want your heart and your spirit to just grasp something today that the Spirit of God might speak to your heart about. John 12 and verse 36, it says these words. While you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of the light. Do you have the light today? Do you have the light of Christ? Okay, that's beautiful. Do we have the light? So believe in the light in order that you might become the light. In Matthew 14, and I'm going to divert just a little bit here. In Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33, Jesus tells his disciples to get in the boat and cast off. Now, just before that, before he gives them that order or that command, because in the New American Standard it says Jesus made them get in the boat. Has Jesus ever made you do anything that you couldn't get away from? You could not do it. You had to do it. That's what he did with them. He made them get in the boat. They get in the boat, but just before that is the miracle of feeding the 5,000 plus They took the fishes and the bread that they had, not much, 5 and 2. And they fed, the scripture said, 5,000 men and women and children. And when they were done, they had 12 baskets full. So just after that, Jesus is going to go away, and he tells his disciples, get in the boat, cast off, I'll catch you in a little bit. Basically is what he's saying. I'm going to see you in a little while. Jesus leaves, goes up to the mountain to pray. Well, the boat ride took a turn for the worse, didn't it? The winds came, the waves got high and heavy and hard and banging against the boat. And they were a little nervous, some of those fishermen in the boat. Jesus says, go in the boat. We just had a great miracle. You saw the miracle of God take place by feeding 5,000 plus with just a little. Now you're in a boat because Jesus said so, and you're off, and all of a sudden it gets a little rough. Once in a while, Christianity gets a little rough. It gets a little tough. It gets a little trying. It becomes difficult at times. But that's where our light, you all just said a few minutes ago that you are the light. That's when our light needs to shine even more so. And as they're in the boat, they're a little scared, a little nervous. They battled to stay afloat. Here comes a figure across the water. And at first it says they thought it was a ghost. They didn't quite know what it was or who it was. What would you have thought? Being tossed to and fro like Gilligan, you know, back and forth. And you see a figure coming across the water. They thought they were seeing a ghost. But then something very special happened. They heard his voice and knew it was Jesus. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Does he speak to your heart and your spirit through the rough times, the tough times, the difficult times, those trying moments? Do you know the voice of God? Do you hear it? Can you hear it? Have you heard it? I've never heard an audible voice, but I've heard the voice, if you know what I'm trying to say. Speak to my heart and my spirit. We need to believe that he's going to answer prayer, but we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention as not to miss what he sends as the answer. We all want it nice and easy and comfy and cozy and, you know, smooth and easy and, at least I do. I like things easy and smooth. I like my kids always to get along. But that doesn't always happen, does it? I like work to be easy without difficulties. You know, go in a piece of cake. That doesn't always happen, does it? I think Doris and I have had a fight once. Just kidding. You know how it is. It's not always easy. It's sometimes a little difficult, but that's when our light needs to shine. He sends the answers. He always does. It may not be a thunderbolt, loud and unmistakable, but it may be just a flicker of that can grab our faith that we can, I mean, to touch us, that our faith can grab onto. Sometimes with all the commotions in life, we look for the shout, and we miss the whisper. We want it blasted across the screen. This is what I want you to do. When God speaks to us sometimes in a whisper, even through those most difficult times. And secondly, I want to speak to you a little bit about listen for the one true voice. This is going to go hand in hand with this. The second point, we'll go with the first one. Psalms 29, verse 3 and 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Hallelujah. Now, there are many voices speaking in this world today, isn't there? You've heard some of them. They promise you everything if you just take their advice. You Buy this product. This will be the best thing you've ever invested in right here. You've heard them all. Now, some of them have done well and worked, but many are gimmicks, aren't they? There's no gimmicks or games with God. His word is true, powerful, and majestic. And when he speaks to us, things take place. When it comes to our faith and our living, it's imperative that we listen and desire to hear the voice, the word of God. In the commotion of the hen house, we need to shut out all other noise and hear from God. The commotion and the noise may still be there. It's still around us, right? But there comes a peace and understanding within our heart and spirit that God has everything under control. When I was a young kid, a young boy, probably 13, 14, 15 years old, I had some employment during the summer and sometimes on the weekends once in a while of, how should I describe this? Picking chickens. You ever been in a chicken coop with 3,000 chickens? It's nasty. It is. You can envision it, can't you? I mean, dust flying, noise, you know, cackling everywhere, and nasty chickens. So our job was to come in. We'd wear a bandana, and I'd always wear a mask, too. And you always had to, what we had to do was catch the chickens, bring them to the truck. They put them in the crates, and it was always 10 in the crate. So you had to bring 5 chickens because you couldn't bring 4. They wouldn't match up. So you always had to do 3 and 2. So you'd reach down, and you go, picture me standing among thousands of chickens. I did not like that job. But I had cash in my pocket. So as a young kid, it was work. Young kids today wouldn't do that. They want something a little more clean. But sometimes you got to get dirty. So I reach down and you go, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, bring him to the guy that's loading the crate. He'd take the 5, put him in, then somebody else bring him 5, they put him in. So that's what we did. And it was smelly, it was dirty, it was noisy, there was chaos in the pen. But you know, if we get still and listen for God, God will honor our quietness and our quiet plea towards him. There's a lot going on. We just had all our kids with us for a month. My home turned into a playground. It was tent city. They had tents everywhere. What is it with kids building tents? Forts. They built the fort. That's the fort. You know, they were in their tent. They put chairs and they put blankets and pillows. And I go in my living room and I have to step over somebody. You know, and there's a tent. There's a fort over here. There's a fort down the hallway. We had a lot of commotion, but it was good commotion. There's a lot of commotion in this world that will tug at us and pull at us. And we need to sometimes, a lot of times, get quiet with God. Get quiet with God. You and God. You and him. Prayer time. Worship time. Praise time. Getting alone with our Savior. Saying, God, help me through this commotion. Help me. Get me through this, God. What's wrong with that? We're not gods. He's God. We cry out to him. Psalm 65 and verse 7 says this. He stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the tumult or the uproar of the peoples. And now we see the uproar of the peoples in this country and around this world. We're not very well liked in many countries, being Americans, what we stand for. I'll go a step further. We're not very well liked as Christians around the world. Pastor preached last week. I believe he mentioned that do those around us know that we believe? Do they know that we are a child of God? Are we being witnesses for Christ? Do they know that? Do they see that in us? You just said a little while ago, you're the light. Do we shine? I hope so. Sometimes I haven't shined and it's bothered me. And, you know, I love conviction that way. Don't you? Don't you like it when God convicts you? It's what you do with the conviction after that's important, isn't it? Some of you may have heard of this gentleman, Jeremiah Denton. Jeremiah Denton was held as a POW in Vietnam for over 7 years and suffered cruel and severe treatment at the hands of his captors. Seven years plus. Now, when I say cruel and severe treatment, I mean cruel and severe treatment. Shoulders taken out of joint, mistreated in every way. When being interviewed years later, he said this. He was hearing a fellow prisoner being tortured, and he heard him, the prisoner, say these words, "Sacred Heart of Jesus, I give myself to you." And he said that the thing that impressed him that spoke to his heart was, he didn't say, "I give myself to thee." I give myself to you. Personalization. You and me, God. God, I need you. Jeremiah Denton says he just stopped and prayed and cried and asked God to come into his life and help him through this time. And you can, God kept him through it all. God got him home. He became a U.S. Senator. You can read about it in his book, When Hell Was in Session. I think that's an appropriate title for some of those individuals that went through things like that. Now, I'm sure nobody's here been a prisoner of war. But we have been prisoners of things that hold us. Of unforgiveness, bitterness, all those things that hold us. We don't need bitterness. Unforgiveness would just eat away at you. Have you ever asked anybody to forgive you? Anybody here besides me ever ask anybody to forgive them? Nobody? I'm the only one in this group. Of course not. You all have. Honey, forgive me. I was a jerk. That's kind of what I say. God comes. God's word speaks to us. And we need to have his word in our hearts and lives. And we need also to acknowledge the blessings. Psalms 105 and verse 5 says this. Remember his wonders which he has done. His marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. Now, how important is it for us to remember all the good things God has done for us? Not even in my past, but today, what God's doing for me. I'm still breathing. That's pretty good. My golf game has gone south, but I'm still doing good. That's a frustrating game. You know, you hit that little white ball and it doesn't quite go where you want it to go. Then every now and then it does and you feel good. I'm going to play this some more until you hit another 3 bad shots. Then you say, I don't know why I play this game. But God's wonders are marvelous and his judgments are great. And they're uttered by his mouth. It is important that we do not forget what God has done for us and in us and what he's doing even now in us. We're in church today. Hallelujah. That's a good thing, right? Amen. We're in church. We great worship. We're worshiping God. God's doing good things in us and has done great things for us in the past. And how marvelous and wonderful our God is. And it's important that we take time to reflect upon the goodness of God. The military always, as you know, I was in the Marines, so I won't go in. I fought in Vietnam and all that. It was always imperative that we took the high ground. You're more secure up here than you are down here. When the enemy is up here, we were in trouble. But when we were on the high ground, the enemy was in trouble. When you and I are on the high ground with Christ, the enemy's in trouble. His destiny is already taken care of. It's already done. It's a sealed deal. But you and I need to get on that high ground with Christ and be secure in him. Many years ago, 1942, many years ago in Florida, there was an old man. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when when I think of this, the kids are always taking pictures now, you know, with the grandchildren, the dad sit here and hold her and, you know, all that. And I say, oh, that's cool. Then I see the picture and I think to myself, mercy, have you gotten old? But we do get old, don't we? But it's okay. It's a good old. It's fine. But this old man in Florida, he had a weekly routine of going down to the pier with a bucket of shrimp, and he would toss them up and feed the seagulls. Now, once he started doing that, you know, the seagulls, like, call their buddies, and they all come. You know, my father-in-law, Bob Trafford, who some of you know, remember Bob and Barb quite well, and they used to live, the church used to have some buildings over near where, the job lot place is now, over near there. And there was a little pond out back, and my in-laws lived in the apartments there. And I come over one day, and he's feeding a couple of mallard ducks. And there's like two or three of them. I said, oh, that's pretty cool. Do you know I come back one day, I counted 110 ducks, mallards. And I said, Bob, is this getting out of control? He says, yeah, it might be. I might have to slow down. But, you know, they just come. If you feed them, they will come. And he was doing a good job of that. But he did slow it down, and after a while they said, well, there's no food here, so off they go. They left. A few stayed around a little bit. But this old man in Florida, he'd come and he'd feed the seagulls, and they would all come and be swarming around him. And many people used to witness it and thought it was quite hilarious and funny and all that, amusing. But they are also really amazed at his dedication to be there every weekend. I think it was a Friday or Saturday he went down. He would go down and feed them. In 1942, while on a mission, the plane he was on, the B-17, went down in the Pacific Ocean. And there were 8 crew members that escaped into a life raft. Now, they battled the sun, the sharks, the weather, and the waves, and all of that for like 26, 27 days total. But the worst thing was the hunger and thirst, of course. Now, it did rain a little bit. They were able to collect some water, but their food supply rations were soon gone. So they were getting to a bad place physically, emotionally, spiritually, but they would pray. This old man and a couple others were Christians, and they would have devotions and pray and all that. Well, after their food had run out and they're drifting on the Pacific Ocean, with no land in sight. The old man was laying back and they were trying to conserve their energy. The man was laying back, and he's the old man I'm talking about in Florida later on, years later. But he's laying in the raft and they're trying to protect themselves from the sun, and he's got his hat over his head, and he feels something, and he instinctively reaches up and he grabs it, and it's a seagull. A seagull had landed on him in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Coincidence, I guess, huh? No. They killed the seagull. They ate everything they could off of the seagull and saved the entrails. They had some little bit of supplies, so they were able to go fishing. And they caught fish. They didn't catch many, but they caught enough to stay alive until they were rescued. Is God good or what? How does that happen? Did you see on the news the other day about the crash out west? You might have seen it, where the young girl was pinned and trapped in her vehicle and they couldn't get her out. They were having a hard time with the jaws of life trying to cut her out, and she was nearing death. And the fellow in charge was getting so anxious because she's not going to make it. And she said, "I need somebody to come and pray out loud." And out of nowhere comes a priest with anointing oil and prays with her and says, as he's praying with her, he says, "Your effort on getting her out will be successful." Basically those words. I don't know exact words. And then he's gone. Nobody saw him come. Nobody saw him leave. There are no pictures of him. They're still looking for him. They can't find him. What was that? Some guy come out of the cornfield? Or was that the work of God? Many there that witnesses, this is a miracle from God. God has a way of coming to us and answering that heart's cry. The story goes of the old man down by the sea. His name is Eddie Rickenbacker. You probably guessed that by now. He continued doing that, and the story goes that when he went down and fed the seagulls, as he fed them, he would look heavenly and say, "Thank you, thank you." We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Some of you have been in tough situations. God's brought you through. We can be thankful. We need to take a look from the eagle's nest and not so much from the dusty, crowded, smelly hen house that surrounds us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Number four in closing, practice and proclaim. We're the light, we hear his word, we acknowledge his blessings, and now we need to practice and proclaim. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." Your children will be a lot like you. You know that. You might pray they're not, but they're going to be like you. In a lot of ways. Now, my prayer has been they be 90% like Doris and 10% like me. I was doing some work for someone one time. I was painting a bathroom for them. They wanted me to look at the bedroom and check that out. And so I was with them and checking it out. And on her bed was this pillow. It was nice design and pretty and all that. And it said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, I have become my mother after all." How many times have you heard it said, "You're just like your father"? Well, you're just like your mother. So we need to be imitators of God so that our children imitate God from us too also. They do it. Now, they need God as their own personal savior, yes. But we need to be imitators, not intimidators. I've never gotten along with those that like to intimidate. But those that imitate the love of Christ, boy, that draws me. That's what drew me to this church many, many, many years ago. Of course, the Traffords, my in-laws, but the pastor at the time, Ron Turner. There was something about him that impressed me as being a real guy. A real, you know, he liked to ride motorcycles. He liked to go fishing. He liked to go hunting. He loved God. I didn't have any clue what a preacher was supposed to be like. What are we supposed to be like anyway? I had no clue. I'm just being who I am, who God has called me to be. And that's what impressed me with him and this church. They were real. They loved God. And they were imitators of God. God's called us to be imitators. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. But as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in love, Paul says, we inspired you. See that you abound in this gracious work also. See that you abound in this work of being Christ-like. Not religious, not intimidators, not holier than thou, but Christ-like. Who would kneel beside a leper. He would feed the hungry. He would touch the poor. He would help the needy. Never let religion get in the way of our Christianity. But let's be imitators of Christ's likeness. Our proclamation of faith must have the practice of the living behind it. How are we during the week? Do we imitate Christ during the week or do we imitate the old self? I used to do that when I was first born again, when I was first saved. I had a hard time, difficult time going to and from. I'd be great on the weekends at church, loved it, and then I'd go off during the week and I would be persuaded by those that I used to hang with to indulge in some of the things I used to do. And I got to a point, I said, God, I either have to serve you completely or I don't serve you at all because this middle of the road stuff isn't for me. It's killing me. The conviction to say I'm one thing and to live another way. I had a hard time with that, so I prayed that prayer. You know, I love to play softball, so there goes the softball. I couldn't play softball because they had their, whatever they had. They had all the stuff there after the ball game and during the ball game. You know everything they do. I said, okay, that's it. So no more ball. I thought to myself, this might be a little boring at church. But you know what I found out? It's the most exciting, fun-filled place to be. I came here, lo and behold, they had a softball team. Pretty good team, too. We won one year. We won the championship one year, a long time ago. Now I can hardly throw the thing. But they were real. And I found real people. And I said, this and living for Christ became an excitement for me. There's excitement in this life. There's joy in this life. There's happiness here. But we need to be the light, don't we? We need to take the light and be the light and be imitators of Christ's likeness. We can shout it from the housetop, but we need to be living it on the doorstep also. It's an old song years ago. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Hallelujah. Believe, listen, acknowledge, and practice. It's there for us. The Word of God is there for us. Praise God. Would you stand with me today and give thanks and praise to God? You love God?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's let Him know that. Hallelujah. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment and allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. And maybe you're here today and God, the Spirit of God put a tug of conviction on your heart. That's good. I remember when He used to tug at my heart, and I would sit there, and I wouldn't respond, but then I responded, and all joy filled my life. Hallelujah. And I know most everyone here, but if you're here today, and you need Jesus to come into your life as never before, to fill you with His goodness and His Spirit and His love and His compassion, and the middle of the road isn't good enough for you. You don't want that middle of the road stuff. You want the road that Christ walked. You want the life that Christ has brought to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Slip up a hand this morning if that's your heart's desire. Slip up a hand as we go to worship God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Quite a few. And listen, young people, you're the church, not of tomorrow, but today. And you're going to take us tomorrow and into the other tomorrows. So God bless you and live for Christ. He's the answer. He always has been. He's the love that makes it happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Take a moment. Slip up those two hands and that heart of yours. And let's just thank Jesus for all He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Word of God speak.
Worship God for a moment. Take a moment to acknowledge Him in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
At a loss for words.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, it's okay.
Hallelujah.
Last thing I need.
Hallelujah. Thank Him today, church. Hallelujah. Glory be to His name.
But to hear.
Thank you, Jesus.
What you would say, Word of God speak.
Yes, speak to
us. Would you pour down like rain?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know.
Yes, hallelujah.
You're in this place.
He's in this place, folks.
Please let me stay and rest.
Hallelujah.
In Your holiness, Word of God speak.
Let's cry out to Jesus today, church. Hallelujah. Some of you just need to reach up and just touch Him this morning. Hallelujah. He's here to hear your heart's cry. Allow Him to do it. The only thing that holds that back is you and I. Because He's here, He's available, He's ready, He's willing, and He just wants to touch our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to Your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving our souls. Thank you for the life we live in Christ. Hallelujah.
Would you pour down like rain?
Pour down like rain.
Washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God speak.
Let the Word of God speak to you. Hallelujah.
Finding myself in the midst of You.
Yes, thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Beyond the music.
Thank You, Jesus.
Lord, beyond the noise.
Thank You, God.
All that I need.
Glory to Your name. Hallelujah.
Is to be with You.
Yes, to be with You, God.
And in the quiet, hear Your voice.
Yes.
Word of God,
yes,
speak.
Hear His voice.
Would You
Hallelujah.
Pour down like
Let Him speak
rain?
To you. He'll do it.
Washing my eyes. things to
That's
see.
That's what he does. He loves
your majesty.
He loves us, and he wants to speak to
be
us.
Still and know you're in this place.
Hallelujah.
Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God spake. Would you pour down like rain?
Worship Jesus.
Washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know you're in this place.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Please
God.
Please let me stay and rest in your holiness.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Word of God speak.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise
speak.
God.
Word of God speak.
Praise God. Let's be in imitators of Christ, folks. Amen. Let's be the light, the examples, and we have opportunity every day, every moment. We walk out these doors, you're going to have an opportunity. When you go to the restaurant, you'll have an opportunity. When you go to work tomorrow, we'll have an opportunity. I've shared many testimonies with this church of how, at my work, when I'm out, how people, once they found out I was a Christian, opened up to me and shared things with me. Some of them very dramatic, beyond I was speechless sometimes. We're the light. We have Christ in us. Let's not keep him in us. Let's show him to the world. Let's imitate what Christ is all about and go forth with that. Hey, listen, God bless you. Love God with all your heart, and may he bless you richly this day. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your love and goodness towards us. While we were yet sinners, you died for us, and we give you praise, glory, and honor. Be with each one today. May the goodness and the love of Christ go with each one, and may we be examples, imitators of the love and goodness of Christ as we go through this life. We thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give someone a handshake.
Amen.